great dad, right? Of course, of course. Dismiss all of our kids to their classes right now. We are grateful for our kids to be here. Dads, we are glad that you are here with your children. Grandfathers, with your grandchildren. And what a blessing it is. What a gift you're giving to them by modeling the life of a Christian. Glad that you're here. Each week, we have a couple of elders and their wives out in the hallway to the left of the worship center. If you're in need of prayer, then feel free to be dismissed at this time. We're going to take on some parishioner's picks. As promised, we'll begin a series. I've got a lot of good and some tricky responses. You're really putting me on the hot seat on some of these, but it seems as every year that I do parishioner's picks, someone requests a sermon from the Psalms, almost every year from the Psalms. And this year is no exception. In fact, there are two requests from the Psalms. And normally it's not a psalm of praise, although there may have been one or two over the years. Normally, when someone submits a sermon to be preached from the Psalms, it's one of the Psalms of comfort, one of the Psalms that reassures us that God is with us, one of the Psalms that enters into the doubts and the confusion and the difficulties of life. There's something about Psalms, isn't there? You know, when we're distressed, when we're worried, when we feel overwhelmed, it's one of the first books we go to. Let's find ourselves a Psalm to be reminded of how powerful and what a loving Father that God is. These are timeless truths that have sustained God's people through all different kinds of crises. And life is full of crises, or crises. Is that the right word? Crises. Yeah. Life is full of troubles. It's just the way that life is. It's the fallen world that we live in. You know, this spring has been unusually stormy. Lots of wind, lots of rain, trees down. I know our city employees have been overwhelmed trying to pick up after us and all the mess that has been made by the wind. Several years back, I subscribed to an alert notification system called Code Red. Maybe some of you have subscribed to that as well. So whenever there's a severe weather event, whether it be a tornado warning, a severe thunderstorm warning, watch, whatever it may be, I'll get a text, and then I'll get a phone call as well. Now, I know I could opt out of one of those, but really, I don't know. Remember how I opted in, so I don't know how to opt out. But so some of these come, like, right when I'm ready to go to bed. You know, my phone goes off, and I look at it. Oh, no. And so I get the radar out, and I'm checking. All these alarms are going off in my mind. And so it's hard to sleep sometimes when you see this big red cloud heading your way. And sometimes I feel like that, not just with storms, physical storms, but with storms of life. It seems like there's a code red system going off in my mind all the time. You know, what's going on with my family? What's going on with church? What's going on with me? What's going on with my friends? What's going on with the country? What's going on with the world? And so it seems like I can't opt out of it. It's like I get all of these code red warnings. And I think that's why the Psalms are so important, because in the midst of all of these crises that we live through, the Psalms remind us that God is in control. Psalms remind us that God is there as our refuge. And so today we're going to turn to one of the most beloved Psalms and one of the Psalms of comfort, Psalm 46. And as we listen to it and as we walk through Psalm 46, I want you to notice that it begins with describing who God is, God's nature. And then it ends describing God's nature, that He is a fortress, that He is a refuge, verses 1 and verse 11. And then right in the middle in verse 7, it reminds us once again that God is our fortress as well. And then in between those reminders at the beginning, at the end, and the middle, the psalmist takes us through this journey, through some of the worst possible situations that we can ever experience, the worst that the world can throw at us, only to remind us that in the midst of all of these storms, we have God as a refuge, an ever-present help, our fortress to sustain us through those difficult times. So let's just dim the lights, and I have a reading of Psalm 46, and I really want you to hear what the Lord is saying
God
to you.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
I feel better already, don't you? That's what the Psalms do for us. Just make us feel better. It gives us strength in these difficult times. So we're going to walk through Psalm 46 together. So open your Bibles to Psalm 46, and let's just kind of take this verse by verse and see what the psalmist is trying to remind us of. What a beautiful opening. God is our refuge and strength, a very ready help in times of trouble, or an ever-present help. I want you to notice how the psalm begins. It doesn't begin with the storms. It doesn't begin with our circumstances. It doesn't begin with the state of the world. It doesn't give us a news update of what's happening. The psalm begins with the very nature of God. And that's where it has to start. This is our foundation. And in the beginning, in this first verse, the psalmist is going to remind us of four essential truths about the God who is for you, who is for us. One, he is our refuge. He's our refuge. He protects us. He's our shelter when those storms rage. In fact, that word refuge is used over and over and over again throughout the Psalms. So if you feel like you need a safe place, you're in good company. That's what the Psalms are all about. He's a refuge. He's a strength. He's strong. He's powerful, more powerful than the storms that you encounter. And he empowers us as well. When we are weak, when we feel overwhelmed, we have a God who gives us strength. And he's our help. He assists us. He doesn't leave us to figure it out on our own. He doesn't say, well, good luck, Todd. Good luck with that storm. He says, I'm going to walk with you through this storm. He doesn't always take us out of the storm, but he always promises to walk with us in that storm to help us. And then don't you love that ever-present help? Ever-present. He is always there. He is always available. He's not distant. He's not distracted. He is always there. Verse 1 reminds us of who God is. And as I noted, verse 11 is going to do the same thing. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Sabaoth. Sometimes you may have heard that reference. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord of angel armies is another way that this is translated. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But then again in verse 7, he reminds us again that God is with us, that he is our fortress, that the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, the Lord God Almighty is with us. 1, 7, and 11, he continues to remind us because we need that reminding, don't we? Because we get overwhelmed by these storms of life. Our true security is in God, not in God plus anything else. Our true security is in God. Not God plus a good economy. Not God plus good health. Not God plus political stability. Our security is in God alone. Our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help. I'm feeling better already, aren't you? Feeling better. On the basis of that, on the basis of the nature of God, the psalmist says, we will not fear. We will not fear. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't experience times of anxiety and we won't have fear as an emotion. That's human. But it means that we will not live in debilitating fear. Anxiety will not be our nature. Jesus said this over and over again in his ministry. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Over and over in the Gospels, he repeats that. We need to be reminded that we don't have to fear. Even though fear is that natural human response to uncertainty and danger. So the psalm wants to turn our eyes from our conditions, from the radar, from the storms, whatever's going on in your life that produces anxiety and fear, keeps you awake at night, to focus our eyes not on the storms, but to bring our eyes upward and to focus on God as our refuge. Now, you may be thinking at this point, my problem is too big. The storms in my life are too overwhelming. But here's a remarkable thing. As we continue to read through the psalm, he reminds us, imagine the very worst possible conditions. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth shakes and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Let's think of mountains falling apart. Let's think of the earth just falling away. He says, even those, even the worst imaginable condition that you can find yourself in, God is still that peace. He's still that refuge. And we don't have to be overwhelmed by fear. So whatever you're going through right now, your situation is not too big for God. Your situation is not an exception to who God is, to his care, to his refuge, to his help, to the strength that he wants to give you. You and he can handle these things together. Even if the worst imaginable scenario comes to pass, the psalmist says, we will not fear. He goes on in verse 4. He says, there is a river whose streams make the city of God happy, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. God is feeding into us. Comparing that to a river. Rivers were so important in the ancient world, a source of water. In the immediate context here, the psalmist is thinking of Jerusalem and how Jerusalem was fed with a river and with streams that would provide for the city. He says that's what it's like being part of the community of God. That's what it's like being a Christian. Is that with all these storms coming in, he's feeding us. He's providing for us. There is a river of strength. There's a river of refreshing coming our way. In the book of Hebrews, the writer there makes a lot of comparisons about how all of the things in the Old Testament were just a shadow of the new. And this city, Jerusalem, is a shadow of the heavenly community, the church that exists. And so he says, but you have come to Mount Zion, which is another word, a description of Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. So I want you to know that God is pouring into you. He's always giving you hope. There's always these spiritual streams. We find joy and strength in that. Being here today, taking communion, reading the Word of God, praying to God, all of these are streams that are feeding us and giving us strength. And he will help us when the morning dawns, or at the break of day. Now, this is poetic language, but this is also a reference to how God often works. Sometimes it's a long night that we go through suffering. But he says, relief is coming at the break of day. People familiar with the Exodus story may have remembered that when the nation of Israel passed through the Red Sea, they crossed on the other side and the Egyptian armies came after them. And it wasn't until the break of day, it wasn't until the morning, that the seas collapsed on the Egyptian armies. Can you imagine being in that situation? You've made it through the Red Sea. You're safe on the other side. You think it's home free, but then you look into the ocean and the Egyptian armies, the powerful Egyptian armies, are coming through the same sea that you have come through, and you think it's over. And you sleep on it. And then when daylight arrives, you see the seas collapse. And God comes through. He delivers. At just the right moment. I know this may sound corny, but I'm reminded of the song from Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow. There's always a tomorrow. There is always hope for people who find refuge in God. Deliverance will come at the break of day. In verse 6, he says, the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth quaked. The Lord of armies is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Nations are in an uproar. Seems like it's written from the pages of our news right now. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. Boy, one of the greatest sources of fear, isn't it? Is our national politics, what's happening here in our country, and then international politics as well. They bring us so much fear, such a cause of concern in our life. Now, I don't think this is a call to be unpolitical, but I think this is a reminder that the nations of man cannot solve a spiritual problem. They are not the source of peace. And you will never find ultimate security in any political movement, in any government, in any human institution. They are all temporary and they all will fall. Now again, this doesn't mean that we should be unengaged citizens, but it means I am not going to pin my hopes on earthly kingdoms. My citizenship is in heaven and everything's okay up there. This psalm inspired Martin Luther, the great reformer, to pen the words of the song, "A mighty fortress is our God." Let me just read you that first verse. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great. And armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." Luther knew what it meant to face opposition from earthly powers. He knew what it was like when kingdoms and nations seemed arrayed against God's people and God's truth. But he also knew that these earthly powers are not the ultimate reality. I think sometimes I need to be more in Psalm 46 than I need to be on my news apps. Bring me peace throughout the storm. Then in verse 8, the psalmist says, let's look at God's record in case you have any doubts. Has he ever done anything? Has he ever delivered anyone else from a storm? And so he says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has inflicted horrific events on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. One of the beauties of reading through the Old Testament. In fact, Psalm 46 is in my reading this week in our reading plan. And if you're following the reading plan that we're publishing in the bulletin. Either you've just recently read it or you will read Psalm 46. But one of the great things about reading through the Old Testament is to see how God defends his people, how he drives out nations, how he restored Israel, and then how he sent his son. God can be trusted to deliver because he has a proven track record. And so you may have doubts. Is God going to deliver me? Is he my refuge? Is he my help? Is he strong for me? And so we read all these other stories, and we know that God has proven himself over and over and over and over again to deliver his people, and he will deliver you. We're tempted to wonder whether or not God will really come through. We need to remember what he's already done. It seems like there's lots of people who want to manage your money, investment people. And so they make lots of promises about what they've done in the past or what potential earnings your money can make. And there always seems to be a disclaimer, doesn't there? Past performance does not guarantee future results. We want you to know, you know, we've done well in the past, and, you know, we've made some people really, really rich, but I really don't know if it's going to happen to you. You know, we could just all go belly up and lose everything. Past performance does not guarantee future results. But this is what the psalmist says. God's past faithfulness is the guarantee of his future faithfulness. Isn't that great to know? He has proven himself, and he's going to prove himself in my life and in your life. He will deliver you. He will help you through somehow, some way. When morning breaks, he's going to intervene. He's going to work. He's going to do it. And we can think of all of the biblical examples of people who learn to be still in impossible circumstances. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God, I know you can deliver me, but even not, I know that you're still there. Daniel in the lion's den. Paul and Silas in prison singing to God. The apostles and the early Christians rejoicing at being persecuted because they are Christians. Jesus in the storm. In fact, it was Jesus who said words very similar to what Psalm 46 says. Peace, be still. Who doesn't love those words, be still and know that I am God? Be still and know that I am God. And then we get to the final drama in verse 10. Stop striving and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Future tense there, isn't it? The final drama has not yet been played out, but we are forward-looking people. And so we don't make judgments on God and his faithfulness based on present circumstances. We make our judgments knowing the end of the story. And that's one of the beauties of the book of Revelation, isn't it? It tells us the end of the story, that God is victorious and evil is defeated. I get an email from Paul David Tripp every Wednesday. Word of encouragement. We're using his devotional guide in our Bible reading at our DMC on Wednesday night. I thought it was very appropriate to what we're talking about this morning. And so it's written in a form of a poem, and go to that next slide. It has this refrain at the end of each stanza. And so when I get to the end of each stanza, and I think you'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly, I want us all to recite this, to say this: this is not my final home. Read a sad message about a church I love. Had to say to myself, this is not my final home. Family brokenness and division tears at the heart. Had to reach out for this truth. This is not my final home. Temptation seems to be around every corner. Need to pause and consider, this is not my final home. Another trusted leader crashes and burns. Had to remind myself, this is not my final home. Watching cultures descent into insanity, comfort myself with one thing, This is not my final home. See faithfulness give way to compromise. I say with those who've gone before me, this is not my final home. The presence and power of remaining sin exposed again had to reflect on my destiny. This is not my final home. Weariness with the struggle gives way to eternity's longing, rejoicing another time that this is not my final home. Creation all around seems to groan under the curse's pain. No hope without knowing this is not my final home. When evil seems to prosper and good suffers, I cannot let myself forget this is not my final home. When the war for the heart seems unrelenting, my strength is found in remembering this is not my final home. When the world offers nothing that gives life, I look up and remember this world is not my final home. The bright promise at the heart of the gospel of Jesus, in him my future is secured. This is not my final home. Our future is secured. God will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted on the earth. And then the conclusion in verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalm ends where it began. With the character of God, not with our circumstances, not with our circumstances changing, not with our problems being solved, but the unchanging reality of who God is. He is our refuge when we need protection. He is our strength when we are weak. He is our ever-present help when trouble comes. He is our fortress when the battle rages. And because this is who he is, we will not fear. Not even when the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. So whatever you're facing today, remember, your situation is not an exception to God's care. The same God who can handle the ultimate chaos of creation collapsing can certainly handle what you're walking through. Be still and know that he is God. Trust in his proven track record and remember that this is not your final home. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Nick, let's play the reading of Psalm 46 again, and then Basil will lead us in a song.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Let's stand together as we sing. You hear me when I call. You are my